Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and trustworthy. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is truth. Our heart are steadfast, O God, and we will sing praises with all our soul. Awake the harp and lyre. We will awaken the dawn. We will praise you, O God, among the peoples. We will sing of you among the nations. Your merciful love is higher than the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity just to sing your praises, just to worship you and exalt you and to praise your holy name. Father, we invite you here this morning. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to touch our hearts and impact our minds and just transform our feet that we might truly walk in step with you. Jesus, we invite you this morning. Change us, we pray. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness and your grace. And we pray all this in the mighty and the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity just to praise you and to worship you and to give you thanks for your amazing love. Father, we just commit the rest of this service into your care. And may our hearts be aflamed, filled with your love, filled with your peace and your goodness and your grace. And above all, may everything that is said here and done here in this service, may it all be pleasing in your sight. We thank you and we love you and we praise you. For in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and bow our heads and our hearts, and we're going to all close and join together in praying the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. If you're confused as to the version that we're going to use, it's printed on the lower right-hand side of the inside of your bulletin. And follow along as we close this time of prayer. But let's go before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you are a God who yearns to hear our plea, who yearns to hear our requests. Father, but before we get to those requests, we praise you and we honor you and we uplift your goodness. We extol your holy name. And Jesus, we thank you for so many blessed things. We thank you for the wonderful weather. We thank you for another day that you created that we might walk in it, that you created the serving ways that we can serve you in all, in each and every day. Jesus, we praise you for our church family. We praise you for the freedom that we have in America. And Lord, we pray that you would never allow us to take that for granted. But may we understand that that is truly a gift of grace from you. Father, we do have concerns, and we praise you for the healing that has taken place in several individuals, and we pray for the continued healing to take place. We praise you, and we ask that you would just bless these individuals with your healing power and healing touch, and may you be glorified because of it. We pray for those friends and family that do not know you yet, and we pray for those who have wandered away from the truth, and we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit just to call their names louder. We ask you, Father, that you would raise up individuals to cross their path, that they might speak words of truth into their life and in their heart and soul, that they truly would be reunited with you, the lover of their soul, the giver of goodness and grace and mercy and peace. And Father, we pray for those individuals who have expressed a call to go into ministry, and we ask you to strengthen them and uplift them and walk before them, and may you just grant them your wisdom, grant them your spirit, a double portion of your spirit, just that they might imbued with your goodness, and they might just share your love with those that they minister to. And Lord, we think of the Middle East and all of the situations going on there. And we lift up the countries over there, Israel and Iraq, and we pray for the soldiers who are fighting for the protection of those who are being persecuted. We pray for protection of Israel, and Jesus, may your truth be proclaimed. And Father, may you truly come quickly, Lord Jesus, and usher in a peace that this world has never known, and yet it will come from you, the heavens, the eternal one, and Jesus, so we ask that your peace would flood that area of the world. And Father, we pray for Gibsonburg. We pray for our church, and we pray that we would be walking in step with you each and every waking hour, each and every day, and each and every moment, that we truly might be the light of the world, the light of this community, a city on a hill. And Jesus, may we serve you in the ways that you have us serve you for. And Father, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And we all join together and pray the prayer you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So I want to do something a little different here this morning. The praise and worship team, they're going to lead us in a song, Change Our Heart. And I want it to be our prayer this morning before we turn to God's Word and look into the Word of God. And they're going to sing it, and they're going to teach it to us, and then we're all going to sing it together a cappella. And my hope and my prayer for all of us is that this would truly be our prayer, that before we approach the Holy Word of God, that we would truly be asking God to change our heart.
You guys want to stand and join us?
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, and it is truly our heart's desire just that your Spirit would change us. And Father, as we look to your holy word, may you send your Holy Spirit just to impact our lives and just to fill our very being, that we truly would be changed by you. Father, we don't want to be changed by our world or by our own desires or devices, but we want to be changed by you. And so we commit this time into your care. Give us ears to hear what it is you would have us to hear, Jesus. And may your Spirit illuminate those things that we need to have illuminated. And above all, glorify yourself and praise yourself. And may you truly be honored and exalted. We love you and we thank you. In the holy name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Walter Knight told of a Scottish woman who went from home to home across the country selling thread and buttons and shoestrings. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick in the air and go in the direction the stick pointed when it landed. One day, however, she was seen tossing the stick up several times. And the question that someone asked her was, "Why do you toss the stick up in the air more than once?" "Because," she replied, "it keeps pointing to the left, and I want to take the road to the right." And then she continued to keep throwing the stick up into the air until it pointed the way that she wanted to go. Friends, if you and I are brutally honest, we all can relate to the woman in that story. And we want what we want, and we will seemingly do many things in life to justify, to rationalize our own thoughts and our own desires. And then once we've justified and rationalized our own thoughts and desires, then we travel our own way without giving much more thought about it. Many times we do this with little or regard for what God would want for you and for me. And we leave out of the choices that we make. And listen to the list here. We leave out of the choices that we make the Creator God, the Sovereign of the universe, the One who inhabits eternity, the Lord of heaven and earth, the living God who is full of mercy, grace, and compassion. We leave out of the choices we make the God who knows the unknown, the God who holds the future, the God who creates days for you and for me to live in, and the God who fashions each day we experience. I want you and me to hear this, that we sometimes leave the lover of our souls, who is Jesus Christ, out of the equation of life. We sometimes leave our Savior without ever having a say in the matter of where we go and what we do, or even worse yet, which direction we travel in life. We wander aimlessly and sometimes toss things up into the air without giving consideration to what God would say about those things. And we allow our lives or those choices that we make to go on unhindered or unimpacted by the Creator God. You see, friends, I believe that inside all of us, there's really a strong desire to do the right thing. You see, I believe that all of us really want to be right with God. You and me, we want to be walking in step with Jesus. To be walking in step with God. I believe that that's really the foundation for many Christians. And yet there seems to be times when we will toss the proverbial stick in the air. Time and time again, we wait and we hope it points in the direction we want to go. Our text this morning, as we continue through the book of James, is found in the fourth chapter of James. And James, in his text of verses 13 through 17, he gives a comparison between living with a self-sufficient focus, which leaves God out of the decision-making process, and living lives which are completely wrapped up in a single desire to do what God wants us to do. If you brought your Bible, and I certainly hope that you have, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 13 through 17 here this morning. James writes, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." In this passage, James is speaking directly against the arrogance of self-sufficiency. And I want us to hear what James is not saying in this passage. He is not saying that there is anything wrong with earning a living and making a profit. That is not what James is saying. You see, in James's day, most Jewish business people, they would travel and sell their products while traveling on the road. And apparently, the people that James was writing to, they were making plans and they were doing business as usual without ever consulting God. Worse yet, they were simply living in their own strength and moving forward without even considering what God would have them to do. And friends, this resulted in their arrogant boasting, not of what God did, but of what their own achievements and their own accomplishments had resulted in. You see, Scripture tells us that when we boast, we should boast in what the Lord has done. I don't know about you, but there's nothing greater than when I talk with someone and you've been praying and praying and praying and praying over something, and then God answers that prayer. There's nothing greater, there's nothing better than to boast in what God has done. And the opposite is true, is there's nothing worse than the arrogant boasting of a person's own achievements and what they themselves accomplished. You see, at the center or the core of James's teaching is the concept or the concept of what God's will is. And friends, this can be stated as God's will for you and for me, and God's will for your life and mine. And friends, I want to just emphasize this, that God does have a will for your life and mine. And he does have desires for you and for me. And God has a direction that he wants you and me to travel. Listen to the words of Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30 says, Jesus says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous. Because, Jesus said, he does not or did not seek his own will, but he sought the will of God the Father who sent him. And then in John 4, verse 34, Jesus said to the disciples, he says, my food is to do the will of God who sent me and to finish his work. You see, Jesus' entire mission here on this earth was to do God's will. He sought to walk with God and to do what God the Father wanted him to do. He never wavered. Jesus never wandered from what God the Father wanted him to do, and he carried it out to perfection. If God the Father had a will for Jesus, the Son, his Son, our Savior, then God, my friends, certainly has a will or desire for your life and mine. If we're going to seek to live out and walk in step with God the Father and be in step with God's will for you and for me, we must understand one thing. And the one thing is we have to grasp that it starts with it being a matter of the heart. And I'll say that again. To walk in step with God's will, it starts with it being a matter in the heart of your heart and mind. Ephesians 6:6, we're told to do the will of God from our heart. And even when we just got done praying the Lord's Prayer, and in that prayer it says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm fearful that at 9 o'clock service, at this service, we pray that each week, and we don't even comprehend or many times think what we are praying. Sometimes we even sing the familiar hymn written by Adelaide Pollard, which includes the words, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. And yet, you and I, we both, all of us, we still sometimes find our hearts failing to line up in walking step by step with God's will for us. And when we're struggling to follow or even seek God's will for our lives, what we are really saying is that we want to be the ruler of our life. We're saying that we don't want God to be God in our heart. We don't want God to be God in our mind, and we don't want God to be God in our soul. We are saying that we want things our way. And this is what the business people James is writing to were doing. You see, the problem wasn't in what the business people did, but in what they failed to do. And what did they fail to do was they failed to consult God about their plans. God was not part of their agenda. And James is attacking their failure to include God in their plans, not in their desire to make money. That's what James is speaking out against. Leaving God out of our plans, friends, will always be foolish. Always. And James speaks to that. And there's two reasons why when we leave God out of our plans, it's foolish, because we don't even know what tomorrow will bring. And he even goes further and he says that our life is just a mist. It's a vapor and it appears here a little while and then it vanishes and it's gone and it's over. You see, if you and I, if we want to walk in step with God, then we must make it a matter of our heart. We must decide in our heart to follow in step with God. We must walk as Jesus walked. We're told in 1 John that the person who says they abide in Christ ought themselves to also walk just as Jesus walked. I don't know how many of you have been around children. I've been around children probably my whole life. And when I read that verse of walking just as Jesus walked, a neat thing that little kids will do many times is they will have no shoes on. And I don't know, but when I grew up, there was always an area where the collection of shoes would be right inside the door. And the kids would inevitably run to those shoes. And you know what they would do? They would put on those shoes. And then it would scuffle around and walk around. And you know what? We never think about what those children are saying.
Those kids are saying, I want to be like that adult. I want to imitate that adult. I want to act like that adult. I want to go where that adult goes, and I want to be just like them. I think about what God would say and how he would feel and how blessed he would be if you and me would seek to put on the shoes of Jesus and we would seek to walk as Jesus walked. We would seek to go where Jesus would go, and we would seek to do the things that Jesus did. Friends, I'm going to tell you how God the Father would react. He would look down upon you and me, and he would have this great big smile of approval as a father or mother looks upon their children. I don't know about you, but every time my niece and nephew and my cousins, they would put on my shoes or even they would follow me around and try to walk in my footsteps, it warmed my heart. And it should warm our hearts. You want to warm the heart of God the Father? Put on Jesus' shoes and walk where Jesus walked and do what Jesus did and go where Jesus went. And I guarantee you, and this is an absolutist statement, but the God that I know, he will smile with approval upon you and upon me. And see, as God's children, what we be and what we should be wearing, as I mentioned, are the spiritual shoes of Jesus and seeking to do what he did and to walk where he walked. And if you and I, if we have the desire to walk in step with Jesus our Lord, we must agree with the direction as well. We start with it being a matter of the heart. And we say, yes, that's what I want. But then we have to agree with the direction. We're told in Amos 3, verse 3, it says, can two people walk together unless they are agreed? You see, you nor I, we can't walk in step with God unless we agree with him. His will is perfect. His desires are perfect. And we have to agree with God the Father, and we have to agree with his direction for our lives. And what this means is we must agree with God and what his will is for you and for me. We must agree with God and what he desires for your life and mine. And this is where many people get into trouble, and they kind of balk at this. And I can confess that this is where I got in trouble many times throughout the years of my life, because this is where many people will say, well, it's God's will that I go and do such and such, and it's God's will that such and such is for me. And they never, ever, ever consult God. They never, ever, ever consult the Word of God. They never, ever, ever bounce it off of other believing Christians who are seeking his face to see if it aligns with the Father. I'm here to tell you that the living God does have a basic will. He has a basic desire for all people to live by. And I didn't say some people. I said all people. And that is an all-inclusive, and I'm going to give you three basic desires here this morning that God desires for you and he desires for me. And when we start with these basic desires, and then we begin and continue to live our lives according to these basic desires that God has for you and for me, the specifics will become clear. Hear that. We get focused on, we major in the minors. We get focused on the small things, and we forget the general things that God wants us to live by and the basic desire that God has for every person. And when we live by that basic or general will that God has for all people, then he, the Lord, the King of Kings and the Sovereign Creator, he will always show you and me his specific desires for what he wants from us. Friends, walking in step with God, it consists of, number one, being saved. And what that means is being in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires. Listen to that word. God our Father desires. He has desires. He desires that all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so when we are in a relationship, we prayed a moment ago for all those individuals that have fallen away or took a sidestep. Why do we pray for those things? Because it's God's will that all people are in that relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And being in that relationship with him It consists of walking where he wants us to walk and submitting and yielding. The second aspect or the second thing of walking in step with God consists of is being spirit-filled. And what that means, and many of us will be confused by this, but being spirit-filled, it doesn't indicate that we can do a certain thing or have a spiritual gift. I'm going to tell you what being spirit-filled means. Ephesians, we are told that once we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So every believer in Christ has the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Christ has been given God Himself to seal us for later redemption. You see, it's not a question whether or not you have the Holy Spirit or I have it. The question is are we yielded to the Holy Spirit? If you and I, if we want to be fully Spirit-filled, we fully yield our lives to the influence and the direction of the Holy Spirit in our life. We fully submit our hearts and our souls and our desires unto the influence of God in you. That, my friends, is being spirit-filled. When we submit, when we fully yield, then those little, still, small voices in our mind, when they align with God's will, you will know the direction you need to go. We're told in Ephesians 5:17, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand," now listen to this phrase, "what the will of the Lord is." You see, many times in my years past, I would talk with people and they would say, "I don't know what God's will is for me. I don't understand what God wants from me." There's these neat little phrases all throughout the New Testament, and I'm just going to give you three scriptures this morning. We've already covered two. Then they start with this. This is God's will for you. Friends, it doesn't get any more clear than that. This is God's will for you and for me. It's the same. It doesn't mean that we're called differently. It's the same to be spirit-filled. And then Paul goes on. He says, "This is the will of the Lord for you, to not be drunk with wine," which is dissipation, "but be filled with the Spirit." Meaning, don't give yourself to the things of the world. Give yourself fully to God and only to God. Don't hold back. Don't hold anything in reserve. Give your heart, your soul, your very being, your life, your body. Give everything you are to the Lord. The third thing that is God's general will, and this is, like I said, it's not an all-inclusive list. There's too many. I don't have time. Is to be sanctified. And what being sanctified means is it's something that is set apart for the use of God. And I'll say that again. It is something that has been changed and made holy. Something that has been changed by the power of God's Word, changed by the working of the Holy Spirit, and changed by the influence of other believers who are seeking the face of the Almighty. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, we're told, "For this," and here's this neat little phrase again, "this is the will of God, your sanctification." And if you look up Thessalonians 4, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians, you'll see a whole list of things where Paul is saying, get these things out of your life. Why? Because they aren't consistent with the holiness of God. And he says, this has to be removed. These things have to be removed. If you ever wonder what has to be removed from your life, go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. You see, this is what walking in step with God looks like. At first, it looks like being in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is God's desire for all people, that they would be saved and come to repentance. You might find yourself already in a relationship with Jesus here this morning, and a relationship with God the Father. And then the next step, God walking in step with God, is then containing being spirit-filled. And you know, friends, when we come into that relationship with Jesus as our Savior, we do receive the Holy Spirit. But we're always going to have the choice to fully yield our minds, hearts, and souls to the influence of the Spirit of God in our life. And this is what walking in step with God looks like. When we are spirit-filled and fully committed to giving full influence and being completely yielded to the Spirit of God that is working in our heart. Yield, yield, yield. Submit to God. And lastly, many of us have that relationship with Jesus. Many of us are yielded, but we struggle with being sanctified. And we struggle with areas in our life that we say, Lord, I'm yielded over here, but I'm not yielded here. And what it means is being holy as God is holy. We can't partially be holy. We can't partially be sanctified and say, I want this aspect of my life to be made holy for God's use, and this aspect is going to be the way I want it to be. It's all being holy. Friends, God wants you and He wants me to be pure. He wants you and me to be holy as He is holy. And now this is where being holy and sanctified, it's partially dependent upon the Holy Spirit's work in you. It's partially dependent upon you and me. Because the Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will convict me. And the Holy Spirit will reveal those things that need to go out of our life. And then we need to decide whether or not we are going to participate with what God wants to do in our heart, mind, and soul. And when we decide that we're going to participate, whatever we're involved in, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, it has to get gone out of our life if that is how God is convicting us and leading us. You see, we must remove all those things in our life that aren't consistent with the holiness of God, and we must continually move toward God and seek to walk with Him. As we close this morning, are you and am I walking in step with God today? If not, check your heart and see if that is your heart's desire to walk with God. And if it's not your heart's desire, then check your heart again and see why. If it is your heart's desire to walk in step with God, then make sure that you and I are fully yielded to the Holy Spirit's influence. And then don't stop there, but fully participate with what God wants to do in your life. And friends, when we do this, when we walk in step with God, you and I, we will all possess a confidence that only comes from God, because you and I, we will truly be walking in step with the direction and the road and the place that God wants us to go. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Father, for this challenge. And Jesus, we praise you for your mercy and your long-suffering with many of us who just constantly fail and fail and fail. And yet you're calling us home here, Father. We thank you for that. May we make it a matter of our heart. May we not just go here and there and do this and do that. May we make it a matter of our heart to walk with you. May we desire to be agreed with you in the direction that you want us to go. And Jesus, may we just reconnect with you. To reconnect with our relationship with you, a love relationship that you so lavishly give to us. May we, Father, be fully yielded to you. May we experience the filling of your Holy Spirit, and not in external manifestations, but in the internal fullness that you will bless us with, the strength, the peace, the mercy, the goodness, and all those things that make no sense. Father, once we're yielded, may we just seek you, and may you sanctify us. May you allow us to have the discipline and diligence to fully participate with what you want us to do. Jesus, we thank you and we love you. We praise you and honor you, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, I just want to give everybody the opportunity. I don't know where you're at in your journey with Christ, but I want to give you the opportunity. We have individuals who would be willing to pray with you. Charlene's here, Val's there. There's other individuals that would be willing to pray with you today. So don't let this opportunity pass. Begin the journey of walking in step with God. Begin it today. For we don't know what holds in tomorrow. We don't know what is around the corner. Make it today. And may the God of all grace and all peace, may He bless you and honor you. May He keep you. And may He flood you with His love and His joy and His truth. And may He find you and me faithful, walking in step with Him. And may the peace of God guard your heart, mind, and soul. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may God's peace bless you. Amen.